Continue our series from Deuteronomy this morning, looking at verse 19 again to help us remember our context. I'll also read verse 6. Hear the word of our Lord. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall heal. I'm going to ask the young children to come up front. Harper, up here. Here. We need your help. Do you know where my treasure chest is?
No.
You don't know where it is?
No.
You don't? Because I hid it and I can't remember where I hid it.
I will help you look for it.
You will? Then what? Oh, you know what? I think I just remembered where it is.
What?
You see it?
No.
Are you looking for it?
Yes.
No, I don't think you are. Because look, it's right here.
You're funny.
That wasn't a very good spot to hide it, was it? You saw it, but you didn't tell me where it was.
I saw it.
I saw it when I was in
the oh. What should I do with my treasure? Open it?
Yes.
And then what?
And then we want to get some candy.
You want me to share my treasure? Or should I hide it and keep it just for me?
Share?
How come?
I don't know.
You don't know? God says. Does God share with us?
Yes.
What's the best treasure he's ever given us?
I don't know. Love.
His love in his son. God shares a lot, doesn't he? Does he want us to share?
Yes.
So should we hide things and keep them for ourselves?
No.
Or should we share?
We should
okay.
Share.
Okay. Are you sure there's something good in here?
What?
Yeah?
Candy.
Candy. Okay. Come grab some, then you can go to children's church, okay? Pray. Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for your great love, for your goodness, for your faithfulness. Fill us with your Spirit, open your word, apply it to our hearts, and help us to live in the light of you, our God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I know it's a cliche because I'm from New Jersey. But I know a guy. And I've got a tip for you, a guaranteed investment, sure to bring profits beyond what you could imagine. Do you believe me? In your heart of hearts, you do? Okay, get your checkbooks out. Now you're not so sure, are you? See, there's the question. Do you want to believe me? Therein lies the rub with this eighth commandment. Barna Group did a survey about this command several years ago, and 86% of the people they interviewed completely satisfied God's requirements not to steal. Now, I want to be upfront with you before we get started here with what I presume you already are expecting. Those 86% were dead wrong, dangerously mistaken. As my friend and former elder Jim Turner used to say, watch out, the preacher's fixing the metal. To which I would always respond, it's not me, Jim, it's the Lord. Which is why we read verse 6, the Lord who meddles. does so out of his love and goodness and faithfulness. He's the one who has delivered us. And in these commandments, he's calling us to his blessings. Now, one commentator in writing about this command says, the eighth command assumes the right and the goodness of private property. That idea runs all throughout Scripture, and he begins looking at Exodus 22 with a whole list of recognizing and respecting private property and the need to repay if you damage or directly or indirectly anyone's goods. Another commentator points out being made in God's image is having dominion, and private property is all about dominion. Most of us like this idea, especially when it's our property. The problem is we stop there. Because Scripture doesn't stop with you having private property, as if you're gullible. You can say, mine, mine, mine. In fact, it says just the opposite. And to understand that, again, we have to go back to the beginning, to Genesis, to understand. And this is going to be a very quick summary here. But when we look at God's work of creation, not a particular verse, but all of his creation in those 6 days and the seventh day of rest, without getting caught into particulars, we need to ask, what is God's grand purpose in creation? And I think it can be distilled down to two things, which you've heard me say time and time again. God's work of creation is to show forth, to make manifest his glory, and to bless us, to bless all of humanity, those made in his image. And he does it with an incredible array of diversity and intricacy and beauty and power and wonder. Because you're made in his image, I would put to you, your purpose, your calling is the same thing, to imitate God and to glorify him and bless others in who you are and all that you do. In the context of talking about personal property, we miss the point if we don't come back to this big picture. If I believe what I have by my own abilities and efforts, and they're mine to do with as I please, I am not like God. The biblical way to think about your possessions is that they're actually your responsibilities. The focus of Scripture is on stewardship. All I have, all that's been entrusted to me by God, all because of God's providential rule, he gives to me so that I might glorify him and bless others. A faithful steward lives in dependence on the Lord, seeking his wisdom and direction in how to do just that every day, all the time, with everything. The Israelites were reminded of this by their calendar. They had a weekly Sabbath of rest whereby they had to trust God to provide in 6 days what they needed in seven. They had the Sabbath year, a whole year where they weren't allowed to till the land or prepare it or do anything else except for gather what they needed to eat. A year of trusting God. And after seven of those in the 49th year, they then had the 50th year, where if you had bought somebody who hadn't been very wise, you had to free them. If you had bought land, you had to give it back. And again, you weren't allowed to work. So for 2 years in a row, you trusted the faithfulness of God. Their calendar reminded them that God was good and they had a stewardship. Jesus picks up on this in the parable of the talents. And even in separating the sheep from the goats, it's about what kind of steward you were, a selfish one or a generous one. Paul in 2 Corinthians talks about his motivation for ministry. First, the fear of the Lord, that one day he was going to have to give an answer for how he used all the gifts and all the opportunities the Lord gave. But while he held on to that, it was the love of God that compelled him to do that wisely and well. Stewardship is at the heart of the foundation for this command. And I would put to you that stewarding the goodness of God means first and foremost being thankful all the time for all things in the fear of the Lord. Thankful for what I have. Not just money, but time, opportunity, gifts, abilities. That requires stopping and thinking about it and acknowledging it. Didn't God give us this day for doing just that? But besides thankfulness, it also means trusting. I have what I have because it's part of God's good plan. Sometimes, most of the time, I forget that. I forget it either by thinking I have what I have because of my hard work, or I forget it by thinking, why does he have that and I don't? Why do they get that and I don't? And again, it's not just money. It's gifts and abilities and opportunities. Being thankful and trust is at the heart of being a good steward. This is, again, one of those easy commandments. In Hebrew, it's just two words. No stealing. Easy to understand, not so easy to obey. Scripture is full of people stealing. Rachel steals her father's household god. Achan stole something devoted to destruction. In Malachi, the people were stealing from God by not giving their tithes. Exodus 21 talks about those who steal people and sell them as slaves, as an offense against God. We live in a day and age where sex slavery is a thriving evil in our midst. So what's forbidden here? John Calvin said it best, and I'm not going to try to outdo him. He writes, the goal of the law is love. The meaning of love must be looked for in the law. This is the rule of love. Every man must be secure in his own right, and no man must do to another what he does not wish done to himself. Hence it follows that men steal not only when they secretly take the property of others, but also when they make money by injuring others, accumulating wealth in objectionable ways, or are more concerned with their own advantage than justice. Consequently, all ways of wrongly appropriating the property of others are included under theft. There's no difference in robbery by force or by fraud. It reminded me of a friend when I was growing up whose father worked for a huge corporation. And as he looked at his paycheck, he saw it was a penny short. A penny. But if you employ tens of thousands of people, you begin to talk about some real money if you do that every week. Companies overvaluing stock, check cashing schemes, all kinds of things all around us all the time are breaking this commandment. Being greedy, as one author put it, stealing with the eyes of your heart violates this command. And you can be greedy by constantly buying new things or by never buying anything. But it's not just a negative, there's also a positive. So what is required? We read the catechism. So again, I'll just quote Calvin. We must remember that a positive, as it's called, is attached to this prohibition. If we merely refrain from all evil doing, we are far from satisfying God, who has bound men mutually together so they may strive to help one another to get ahead by counseling and assisting one another. Not the slightest doubt that God commands generosity and kindness and other duties which give warmth to human society. Therefore, if we are not to be condemned as thieves by God, we must seek the advantage of others no less than our own. Simply put, this command demands that you and I promote the welfare and the good of others in thought, word, and deed. In fact, Ezekiel 18 defines a righteous man as one who does not oppress, but restores the debtor his pledge, commits no robbery, gives bread to the hungry, covers the naked with a garment, does not lend at interest or take any profit, withholds his hand from injustice, executes true justice between man and man, walks in the Lord's statutes, and keeps his rules by acting faithfully. That's righteousness. Generosity is righteousness, which is who the Lord is. And I would put to you, this attitude and these actions are only possible if we know Jesus. He is the only good steward. He was the steward of salvation by taking your debt and paying for it with his body on the cross. We had all failed as stewards, and yet he took the full weight of the penalty we deserved. He was the good steward of righteousness, humbling himself, becoming like us, tempted in every way, yet without sin, using all that he had, all that he was, to provide righteousness for you, so that as the Father looks at you, you can expect to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant," because of what Jesus, how Jesus has stewarded righteousness for us, sharing with us all that's his. So it's now ours, not ours to hold on to, but to share and to give. Jesus is the good steward of creation and redemption, giving to his people all that we need for life and godliness. For us to obey this commandment, we have to grapple with Jesus, the good steward, so that more and more we're free to glorify God in who we are, what we say, and what we do, so that we can be his blessing to others. So, what's required of you? First and foremost, trust. Augustine wrote, "Earthly riches are full of poverty." But what do we spend so much of our time and our thought and our energy on? That which is full of poverty, or seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? That's what trusting the Lord is all about. Trusting the Lord for his mercy. Trusting the Lord for his grace. Trusting the Lord for his provision, that we might be free. Secondly, what's required of us is that we work as unto the Lord. Nobody else may see how you use your time or what you accomplish, but he does. Working as unto the Lord so that we are free to support our families and generously to support others who are in true need. Again, Scripture talks about that in a lot of places. Kent Hughes, pastor, said, "Every time I give, I declare money does not control me. Perpetual generosity is a perpetual de-deification of money in my heart." Work as unto the Lord so that we might give and serve and bless with our time, with our talents, with our treasure. Thirdly, it means to promote laws and virtues and practices that protect and promote my neighbor's well-being. People, we don't live in that kind of a society anymore. More and more, there has to be rules and regulations and enforcers just to get people to do the right thing. And the minute they do the right thing, someone else is trying to find a way around them. We're called to be different. To sacrifice for the sake of others, to work for the sake of others. I can't think of a better way to do this than to change the education system in this country. It is robbing the future from us. In all that you do and all that you are, your calling is clear. Glorify God, bless others. You're not doing that, you're violating this eighth commandment. But to honor this eighth commandment, more and more depend upon the Lord. Ask for his wisdom, his strength, his insight, so that you recognize each and every opportunity when it comes. And those good opportunities don't always come clearly before us unless we're walking with the Lord. By the way, I do know a guy. It's Jesus. The Apostle Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation, ready to be revealed at that last time. Keeping this eighth commandment is just investing in Jesus and knowing He's guarding you and has glory for all eternity, for all who are His. He's already given us the deposit, the Holy Spirit who is with us and who helps us to keep our eyes on Him. For us to obey this commandment needs the Holy Spirit's wisdom and strength and power, that we see Jesus more and more clearly and give Jesus more and more fully. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how thankful.